This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. Macca and Fiona and, of course, Paul. Tass is having the day off today, lazy bugger. Don't know what he's doing. I hope he's enjoying it. I hope he's got some suntan lotion on. What do you reckon?
Well, it's a gorgeous day. He could be just basking in the backyard.
It could be. It could be.
He could be at the South Melbourne market shopping up.
He could, you know, he could be anywhere. He could still be wandering around in his quilted dressing gown. Anyway.
Wouldn't we all be if we weren't here?
I know. Now, Simon Ruth is the CEO of Thorn Harbour Health. He joins us. How are you, Simon?
I'm good, Macca. How are you?
I'm really good. Did that vision of Tass in a quilted dressing gown send you shivering?
Yes, yes, it did. And, you know, and I imagine he goes brown pretty easily, so I don't think he'd probably have to wear too much.
Yeah, natural year-round tan.
That's right, yeah. That's right. Look, Simon, we wanted to, a couple of things we wanted to chat to you about. You know, Thorn Harbour is establishing Victoria's first LGBTIQ community volunteer hub. So tell us what this is, you know, so listeners can get a feeling for it and why you've done it.
So we've always had a strong volunteer program. We were an organisation set up by volunteers originally, and back in the early days we were completely run by volunteers for probably close to the first 10 years. We had very little money, and during the HIV epidemic it was our focus. And I guess around the time I started and AIDS 2014 was happening, we had a huge influx of people wanting to volunteer for the organisation again. And volunteering is more of a benefit to the individual than it is to the organisation. So it's not actually about organisation saving money. It's about providing an opportunity for people to give back and participate. And particularly in our community, where people are often coming out as adults and they're looking for community and they're having to find friends and find the LGBTI communities. It's a great opportunity for people to engage, particularly if they don't want to have to go to bars and clubs to meet people.
Yeah.
We get probably 10 to 20 calls a week of people wanting to volunteer for us. We have somewhere around 700 active volunteers at any given time across Melbourne and or Victoria and Adelaide. But, you know, there's so much skill and capacity amongst our community and little the smaller organisations particularly, and even some of the organisations that just ramp up for 2 or 3 months of the year, managing volunteers can be a huge burden for them. It can be high risk. And so we just thought it's a good opportunity for us who know how to do this work to provide a service to the community. We've had a pitch into government now for 5 years to do this, and everyone thinks it's a great idea, but no one was prepared to throw some dollars behind it, but we got a bequest last year from the Quinlan estate that's allowed us to look at setting it up now.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, I mean, the volunteers are, of course, the backbone of Joy, as we know, and for so many other community radio stations, community-run organisations. Will there be, in the volunteer hub, some training involved there to increase skills? I mean, of course, we know that a lot of skilled people volunteer and we wish, you know, we always want more people to do so because it is such a fantastic benefit to the individual. But will there be training as part of the hub?
So the focus of the hub, and hubs do exist already, so they tend to exist in geographic locations around local governments. So it would be about finding volunteers for organisations. It would be about supporting organisations to understand how you provide positive experiences to volunteers, how you manage them appropriately. Every volunteer should have a position description. In this day and age, they all need to be police checked and depending on what they do, working with children checked, and there's a whole other bunch of bureaucratic steps. So I imagine the hub will provide a function around that and supporting organisations as well. And then it would be up to organisations that, you know, every organisation has a different skill that they require, from switchboard, who needs to teach telephone counselling, to Joy, who needs to teach you how to use the board in front of you and know how to do that. So that sort of function would sit with the organisation, but it would be more about the earlier processes in the hub.
One of the things I thought, you know, so, you know, that's really important is, in all community organisations, you know, to identify volunteer requirements, that's really important, and job specifications and matching skills and expertise. I mean, these are things that not-for-profits find really challenging, really challenging. So, you know, I'm glad that, you know, the hub, you know, is going to help LGBT organisations across Victoria to do that, because it is one of the biggest challenges. Even an organisation that's long established like Joy or Thorn Harbour, it's still a challenge for those organisations, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of work to putting volunteers in place. I think people imagine you just put an ad out and people turn up and you tell them what to do, but there's actually a lot of background work to make legislative requirements, to make it a positive experience for the volunteer, to ensure that your staff who've said they want volunteers understand the level of commitment that they have to put in. It's, you know, and volunteering needs to be, you know, a fulfilling experience. So, you know, having somebody come and stuff envelopes for 3 hours a week is not really a fulfilling experience for the volunteers. So you need to think about ways that you're going to make it a positive experience. We also have lots of volunteers who don't want to commit to 2 or 3 hours a week but are prepared to do events.
Okay.
And somewhere we need to capture them. And increasingly we're finding that, so we provided volunteers for the Better Together conference, the AGMC conference, Igloo that's coming to Melbourne, the aquatics event. So there's a lot of volunteers who just want to do those sorts of events. And they're saying, I can make myself available for a weekend, but I can't commit to something every week for the entire year. So different people, you know, are able to give different capacity, and you just need to capture that centrally.
Now, Simon, it's a little way away, but Thorn Harbour and when its predecessor organisations will celebrate 40 years in about 3 years' time. That's a long innings, mate.
Yes, it is. What are we now? We're 37 now?
I think 37, yeah.
1983. Yeah, yes, looking forward to that. It's going to be a big milestone. We were, of course, the first HIV organisation established in the country, and we are technically still the Victorian AIDS Council and the Gay Men's Health Centre. Thorn Harbour Health is how we're branded, but the associations haven't changed names yet. So they're still both there, and it'll be an exciting time again. We're hitting lots of milestones. Pride March is hitting milestones. I think queer film's hitting milestones.
Mm.
It's a great time.
And finally, Simon, mate, congratulations on signing up for some space at Victorian Pride, and it'll be great to be sharing some space with you there.
Yes, yes, we'll be sitting above you.
See you in the elevator.
I think you're on level one and we're on level three. Exciting times ahead, great commitment from the state government. That $10 million is really going to ease a lot of the burden that people are concerned about. We're also establishing in Hoddle Street, so
yep.
It's full steam ahead for us. We've got architects in working on two sites. We're going to be fitting out two different sites, figuring out how staff will move between them. We're hoping to, you know, some of those services that we run in the north, like Equinox and Pronto, to be offering those from the Pride Centre as well, and some of the medical services to be offering those in the north. So there's a lot of work being done in the background to make this happen.
Now it's great to see, and I really look forward to this, you know, this volunteer hub. This is something, look, it's been talked about a lot in the past, certainly right in my deep, dark past it also, about 108 years ago. We tried to do that, and in fact a lot of it we did do, but it's it is a really important thing to be doing, and it's going to be a great resource for organisations large and small across Victoria. So well done, and the Quinlan Estate for a generous bequest from the Quinlan Estate, I want to acknowledge that it does make this dream a reality. So well done.
Cheers. Thanks, Baker. Thanks, Fiona.
No worries. That sounds great. I think that do we have time to really talk about another question that we've had from some of our listeners around the Therapeutic Goods Administration's recent...
AML.
AML.
We have had some inquiries about that.
Are we in the future, Simon, am I right in assuming that it's likely to be sold by chemists?
Hopefully.
Hopefully, okay.
I talk about amyl a lot nowadays.
Yeah.
prior to the TGA getting involved, we sort of didn't really have a legal structure for amyl. It was probably illegal. Certain retailers were getting around to claiming it was different things. We had bottles being sold that said do not inhale on them because you had to pretend they weren't for personal use. We had some particularly young people drinking it, poisoning themselves. I think there was even a death or two because, you know, they read on the bottle, do not inhale. The TGA has now put a structure in place that means it will be available from pharmacies. It needs to have a child-proof lock on it. And it needs to be amyl. It can't be what most of what you buy in shops is isobutyl nitrite.
Yeah.
They're saying they want it to be amyl nitrite simply because there's more safety research on amyl. The problem is we don't have any manufacturers who are ready to dispense into pharmacies. So,
okay.
The issue with the childproof cap that amyl degrades that type of plastic that's used in those. So an entirely unique bottle is going to have to be developed.
Sorry for laughing.
The labs that produce amyl are going to have to be registered with the TGA or the FDA and be regularly audited. It's going to cost whoever the company is, it's probably going to take them 6 to 12 months to get something in place simply through the bureaucratic process and possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
We're in touch with 3 or 4 retailers and trying to encourage them to get into the space. But the ones who are at the pharmaceutical end, you know, they're used to producing the old ampules and they don't really have their heads around this type of use.
Yeah.
And the ones who are producing what you do buy in shops in bottles aren't, their labs and their factories aren't at the grade that they need to be. There is one provider coming up for Mardi Gras and I'll be meeting with him in Sydney in a couple of weeks trying to talk him through the various steps. So it's an interesting time. I know that there are some retailers still selling it, possibly putting themselves at risk. The last thing we want is police running into shops and raping them and arresting people, because everybody's recognised that this drug is relatively harmless if you know how to use it.
Yeah.
And that's why the TGA has actually allowed it to be scheduled.
And, you know, credit to yourself and others who've run the campaign, you know, yourself, Paul Kidd, and a whole lot of other people that ran the campaign and you know, put submissions into the TGA. Getting the TGA to change their mind is not an easy thing. It doesn't happen that often. So full credit to everyone,
thank you.
You know, for this. It was a real community campaign and it shows the power of a community when, you know, when you coalesce and you focus on an outcome. It's very powerful. So thank you.
Yeah. Cheers.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Simon, for taking the time to chat with us today.
Yeah, have a nice rest of the weekend.
You too, guys. Thanks, bye.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.